Time for us to talk about a lost weekend in Boston sports, but if there's anybody who can make sense of it all, well, it's Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad.
I can't make any sense of any of this, Rich. So it was good talking to you. We'll talk again in 2 weeks.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Chad. Be well. Let's see. We'll get to the we'll get to the Patriots in a moment. Let's start with the Red Sox. And look, I'm old enough to remember. I don't care what anybody says. This is not 1978.
It's not 1978. And you know what? 1978 is blown out of proportion. I mean, I understand it weighing on. That was the first year I was a fan, so I remember it. I'm not one of those people looking back and saying, oh, it was such a big deal as the olden days. That was my indoctrination as a Red Sox fan. It hurt me for a long time. But that team won 8 in a row to force that one-game playoff.
Right.
They might have collapsed, but they got their act together. And it was ultimately, you know, they didn't win, but it was a pretty heroic ending for that team right up until, you know, until Bucky Dent dug into the batter's box. So I don't think of that group as chokers. To me, there have been more frustrating Red Sox teams and Red Sox teams that have punted more away, starting with the one that we're heading up on a 10-year anniversary of here, the 11 team fell apart. There's a big story out today, so I can't remember who wrote it, about the final day of the 2011 regular season when you know, the Red Sox fell apart, the Rays won, and the Sox missed the playoffs altogether. And to me, that was a choke job. 78's not a choke job, and I don't think what we're going to see with this Red Sox team ultimately is either. Although I do think a lot of people are counting victories against these lousy Nationals and Orioles teams before they've hatched. You've still got to go out and win them. And the baseball isn't football where the good team wins, the best team wins, you know, 85% of the time or whatever. There could be some wrinkles in this, but ultimately I think they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, we all had fairly low expectations. You had a little bit higher expectations than most, but no one expected they would be at this point in the season. It's been a great ride. They're playing meaningful games into the month of October. So whatever happens, I look at it as a successful year. But even this week and into the playoffs, if they get there, there are some issues. But the big ones that stand out to me are the fact that there's nobody in this staff, other than occasionally Nate Eovaldi, that seems to be able to go more than five innings on a consistent basis.
Yes, and the bullpen is, you know, worn out and falling apart. You know, Josh Taylor's hurting now, and he probably would have been the guy in there Saturday facing Rizzo instead of Darwin's and Hernandez. That was an egregious mistake by Cora. I mean, I think he's a terrific manager, but he had a rough weekend, whether it wasn't vehemently tearing into Joe West after Vasquez dropped the ball after catching it, you know, transferring it to his hand. It should have been an out, and that was a pivotal play, a pivotal moment in that game, and may end up being one of the pivotal moment in the season. And bringing Hernandez out to face Rizzo, who has reverse splits, hits lefties better this year, and knowing that he was going to have to deal with Giancarlo Stanton, who hits fastballs from left-handers pretty well, especially fast left-handers that really only have a fastball, and that was just a terrible matchup, and they kind of got what they deserved there for mismanaging that situation. But yeah, this is a team where it's really struggled against good teams in the bigger picture, at least since the All-Star break, and you have to assume if they get into the playoffs, anything can happen. But as tired as their pitching is, as much as they miss Garrett Whitlock right now, you know, with all the flaws in this roster, you have to figure it's probably not going to be a very long stay for a lot of reasons.
What frustrates me most about the bullpen is that, and I don't know if this is on Dave Bush or it's just, hey, he's doing the best he can with what he has out there, but I don't recall seeing a bullpen that on a regular basis would come into a game and walk the first guy they faced. It's like, you know, throw a strike, mix in a strike every once in a while, but it doesn't matter who they go to. It seems to always be a 3-0 count on the first batter.
Yeah, the one that jumps out is Houck the other night coming in and walking the first two guys and pitching to Brett Gardner like he's actually dangerous. you know, that's just that's bad. But I kind of put that one on the organization as a whole. I thought it was pretty clear couple of weeks ago, at least, that Houck's biggest value to this team was going to be as a multiple inning reliever, either in the postseason or hopefully even before that down the stretch, who could come in and do a similar job to what Garrett Whitlock's done. And now with Whitlock hurt, at least for the time being, it seemed like it would have been wise to work Houck into that situation earlier than they did. They bring him out there in that situation. After being a starter for most of the season, he hasn't had a lot of prep for that. And he should have pitched better. He should have trusted his stuff a little bit more in those early at-bats. But the Red Sox could have done a better job of getting him ready for the role that he's going to best serve this team. And it seems like I guess they've had to piece so many things together that they probably needed him in the rotation and couldn't afford to do that. But I thought it's been clear for a long time that this is what his best role is going to be for this season.
If they get into this one-game playoff, who pitches in that game? And does it depend on whether it's Toronto or New York?
I think it's Pete Shorek or Bruce Chen, one of the two.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it seems to be heading that way. I don't know. I think I probably trust Evaldi a little bit more. We actually had our Baseball Writers Association meeting the other day for the Boston chapter, and it's where you give out the annual awards, for the writers' dinner if we have one this winter. And a lot of people were—I never thought of it this way—but a lot of writers are angling for Evaldi as the team MVP this year. And I think of like Bogarts or Devers, kind of obvious choices. But a couple people pointed out that analytically, he's one of the leaders in WAR. Take that whether you like it or not. But he's just been so reliable. And so that was why it was strange to see him really struggle this weekend. He just said he couldn't get a grip on the ball because he's been so consistent, so reliable. I tend to think of this game as just sort of a one-off and scratch it out. And I would trust him in a big game scenario. Now, Sale's been pretty good since he's come back, but the velocity kind of comes and goes, and I almost like him as a desperation if of all these struggles bring him in the middle innings, and kind of use him as the bridge to get into the playoffs if you have to. But I would start Evaldi in that game just because he's been so consistently good all season, and that's something really nobody else on the staff has done.
I thought the best part of last night's broadcast, and I don't remember if it was Matt Vasgersian who brought it up or whether it was Buster, but whoever brought up the fact that A-Rod and Jason Veritek have not spoken since that fight all those years ago. That was great stuff.
Yeah, A-Rod could be so good if he was just honest and authentic and told actual stories rather than trying to sound 10% smarter than he is. he'll say things that make no sense just to try to be contrarian or try to sound really smart about the particular situation when... If he just told stories about his career and was honest about them, yeah, Derek Jeter hates my gut. Yeah, I think I battled Veritek to a draw and we haven't talked about it. Whatever it is, he would have some great stuff to tell, but everything is opposed with that guy.
Right.
Everything during his playing career, everything during his broadcasting career. And it's too bad because he loves baseball. He knows baseball. He was one of those guys who would just BS with anybody who wanted to talk about it when he was a player. It was the only time he really seemed like a normal person. And that, for whatever reason, he feels like he has to have this image on the Sunday night broadcast. And I think if he could just kind of relax and, be authentic about his own career, it would be really interesting.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Well, from the frying pan into the fryer, the Patriots... as you put it during your piece in the Globe, debacles have been few and far between, but boy, that one's on the list.
Yeah, it was a very short list. I was trying to think of the games where they just no-showed, and the one that always comes to mind is the 09 playoff game against the Ravens where everything changed the next season. Not a lot, and obviously there's a variable during those days that isn't here now, and it's the guy who's coming back to play against them this week. That usually Brady and Belichick in tandem would help them overcome any kind of individual, singular, lousy performances, and now we're sitting here looking at 1-2 of this team and wondering how they're going to get out of this rut when Brady's coming in to try and step on their neck. So I'm not as down, I think, on the entire situation as a lot of people probably are today. I thought Mac Jones looked pretty good when he wasn't completely under siege. Mm. And Josh McDaniels did him no favors. They've got to figure out that running back situation and can't keep giving the ball to Brandon Bolden on 3rd-and-1 on sweeps. The line has been abysmal. They're going to get Jones hurt. He got hit 11 times yesterday. If you want to see Brian Hoyer for 10 to 12 games, if that's the goal, you're headed that way. But I still think this is a talented team that's going to get its act together. I don't think it happens this week, but probably after they drop to 1-3.
And Jonnu Smith can't possibly be as bad as he's looked.
Who's that?
Jonnu Smith.
Nobody can be that bad. I couldn't be that. I had that question in the middle of my column today. Is any receiver at a worse game individually? I can't think of anything. One reader pointed out Rashay Caldwell in the 06 AFC Championship game had just two brutal drops. They ended up losing 38-34. He had one late in the game where he was wide open. Brady put it in his hands down the sideline. And the guy, the reader described it as like watching a beanbag go into the cornhole court where the football just disappeared and fell through right to the turf. And they ended up settling for a field goal and losing by 4 points. So that one killed them. And that was a bad game. But I don't remember anything like Smith yesterday dropping a pass on 4th down. He dropped two on, I think, their 2nd drive of the game where they won on 3rd down where they could have kind of changed the tenor of the game early. Volleyballed the one into Malcolm Jenkins' hands for the interception. It was brutal, and you can see his talent. I mean, he looked hurt last week and didn't have the explosiveness, but he was pretty explosive in the few times he had the ball against Miami. And you can see that it's there, but you got to wonder if there's going to be some sort of mental block here with him struggling as badly as he did yesterday. They need him to pull out of it because he's being paid a lot of money and he's a very talented player. But that was shockingly bad yesterday.
I mean, even Jake Bailey had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, he's put 3 in the end zone this year. I think it was maybe 5 all of last season. So he hasn't quite had the touch. So I wondered yesterday if they were trying to avoid punting to Assumption College's Deontay Harris, who took the first kick of the game pretty far, and maybe they were just trying to avoid him and letting him put the ball at the 25. And, you know, he got the one block, too, but they had blocking issues all over the place yesterday, and whether it was the blocking the run, blocking pass protection for Jones, or even on special teams. And that's probably the number one thing they got to work on here is making sure that opposing defenses aren't getting where they want to get in the Patriots' backfield, because that's been happening way too much lately.
So Brady got to be tired. Hope he iced that arm. I think he threw 85 passes yesterday. Who needs, now I won't say who needs this, who does this game mean more to, Brady or the Patriots?
Yeah, probably about equal. I mean, you know, Brady's ahead, obviously, in the argument. He won the Super Bowl last year. If you're one of those people who's doing the either or thing with Brady and Belichick rather than the both thing in terms of who deserves the credit. I mean, it's getting annoying. I had the radio on yesterday after down in Boston after the game, and there were 3 or 4 people called right away and said, you know, maybe it's time for a change with Belichick. They won the first Super Bowl against the Rams because of their defensive game plan. They won the last Super Bowl against the Rams largely because of the defensive game plan, shutting down these supposedly unstoppable offenses. A lot of what they did in those 6 Super Bowl seasons was Brady, but I can't believe how many people are forgetting what Bill Belichick's contributions to that were, and that there were things he did that Tom Brady wouldn't have been able to win without Belichick's game plan. So it was as much of a incredibly mutually beneficial situation as you'll ever find in sports. And I don't understand why Patriots fans, so many of them, are suddenly forgetting that it wasn't just one guy. the coach had something to do with this, too.
Yeah, I think so. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Chad, thanks as always. Happier times, I'm sure, when we get to talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right. Yes, the Bucks are favored by 5.5, and the Red Sox are going to roll right over the Orioles and Nationals, and it'll all be repaired here.
There we go.
All good in 2 weeks.
Time heals.
Yeah, definitely.
Time heals as always. Chad, thank you much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Rich. Take care.
Chad Finn, Boston Globe, downtown.